Buongiorno. My name is Lauren. I'm a writer, food lover, and creator of Cooking Vacations Italy, a culinary tour company. I married Reno, an Italian race car driver, and we live in sunny Italy where we welcome guests to our Italian kitchen and share our way of living on the Amalfi Coast. We live on a vertical cliff, 100 stairs down, overlooking Positano and the Tyrrhenian Sea. We're surrounded by olive and lemon trees, and grapevines grow everywhere. From our terrace, we can almost reach out and touch Capri. Follow me in the garden, where we grow Mediterranean fruits and vegetables in the rhythm of the seasons. We use our farm-to-table ingredients, including our own olive oil, in local cuisine. Join us as we travel, cook, and experience life in Italy.
Buongiorno, I'm Jordan Rich, here stateside, talking to my good friends Lauren Birmingham and her wonderful husband Reno. They are on their veranda along the Amalfi Coast. It is breathtakingly beautiful. Don't forget, cooking-vacations.com to find out how you can get there and enjoy the experience of a lifetime. Lauren and Reno, today we're going to focus on pasta, and we begin with a little geometry lesson on the shape of pasta.
You know, there's a book, Le Geometria della Pasta, the geometry of the pasta. Right. And I mean, even in Italy with its 20 regions, there's probably more than 1,500 shapes of pasta. Everyone goes with its specific sauce. It's a food culture, you know. In Bologna, lasagna is only made with spinach pasta, pasta that's been made with spinach. And in Bologna, the lasagna isn't heavy and thick with red gravy or red sauce like it is in Naples. It's made with the bechamel. So it's really a pasta culture. We thought we'd start off today with a little bit on Neapolitan pasta.
1,500 approximate shapes?
Probably more than that.
I thought it was just elbows and linguine and fettuccine noodles. There's a whole lot more going on. So tell me about the book.
You know, this is the book. It's a very general book. It's a fun book because every page, this page, it gives you the history, the shape, how to make it, the sauce that would go with it. This is alphabet. Remember the alphabet?
I learned my ABCs by looking at alphabets in the soup. So, Lauren, let's talk a little bit about the regions. Is there one predominant region in Italy for pasta, or does everyone sort of share equally in terms of their impact?
Every region is pretty strong for pasta, Reno. Of course, Naples is really important because it was in the hills of Gragnano, which overlooks Naples, that they started to do dry pasta. And it was done naturally. Some real artisan shops still have that, where it's dried naturally by the air. And now, of course, with manufacturing, they have fans. So the Neapolitan pasta from Gragnano is very famous. Of course, you know, Emilia Romagna is tortellini, tortelloni, tagliatelle, lasagna. And they have a very strict food culture. You know, the little veal tortellini only are served in broth, a veal broth. Never with gravy, never with pesto, only in broth. So it's really, you know, in Italy, a strict food culture. You'd never see pink vodka pasta with a sauce. That's so American. Or pasta Alfredo. You know, waiters will clobber you over the head when the artisans, even though they're artisans, take great pride. Like, this pasta is made from a winery olive oil maker in Pastum. It's Saint Salvatore Songhi. It's a ziti that's not cut. And I mean, look at this elaborate box.
It's very special, very beautiful.
This is a pasta that you would probably never see in America.
Questo è un piccolo produttore.
Yeah, he's a small product. It's called Paccheri Rigati Integrali. So it's wheat pasta. It's the big, chunky, it's like a rigatoni, but it's paccheri, and it's used with like a seafood, a shellfish
sauce.
Yeah,
it's a big, hearty piece of pasta. I could make a meal out of those suckers really easily.
Yeah, they'll use this with things like little shrimp or pieces of eggplant, or I'm talking, you know, there's all proper names for these, because the pasta actually catches and it absorbs, you know, the flavor. It will catch the piece of eggplant or the piece, and it's very absorbent. They're cut with bronze tools, and the bronze leaves this like dusty look on them.
You mentioned whole wheat. How much of the pasta in Italy is quote unquote whole wheat, or are there just so many different types of wheat being used?
There's the regular white pasta. Then there's always been whole wheat way before it's been fashionable to have whole wheat. And we buy lots of pasta and have been for years before it were on Whole Foods shelves. Pasta made with, you know, farro flour, or pasta made with lentil flour or chickpea or fava flour. It's really endless. And, you know, you'll see it in the vegan restaurants, or you'll see it on, there's a website called Natura Si, which means yes, nature. And it's like a little Whole Foods online. I'm probably their best customer.
In the States, in the United States, of course, there's a big move on to eliminate gluten from the diet for many people. And some people, they have to because they've got celiac or whatever. What about in Italy? And what is gluten all about there?
In Italy, the pasta is made with very high quality, because Italians really take pride in the quality of the pasta. And a lot of clients come to cooking vacations and will say, oh, I'm gluten-free, I have this. And before you know it, they're eating the pizza, they're eating the pasta, because it's the way the wheat is processed here, which is different. A good quality pasta, honestly, shouldn't make anyone sick unless they themselves are very, very, you know, anti-gluten. And also, Italians may eat pasta every day, but it's a little small portion that, you know, is a primer to a main course or a salad in the summer, eggplant parmesan. It could be fish, meat, chicken, whatever. So there's not an overload of giant pasta that's overcooked, and it's a good quality.
And here's a question for you as well. One expects to find homemade pasta in a lot of kitchens in Italy and in a lot of restaurants, but yet there are still packaged pastas which look amazing. What's the ratio, would you say? Are more people creating their own pasta these days, or because it's busy lives for all of us, they're going to the store-bought?
It's nothing about that. Some pastas, fresh pastas, are made to be served with certain sauces, like gnocchi is a fresh pasta. It's potato, flour, salt, and water, and a couple of eggs. Gnocchi can be served with the traditional Sorrentino style in a tomato sauce with mozzarella. It can be served baked. It's served with, here on the Amalfi Coast, with mussels called gnocchi e cozza. Gnocchi with mussels and like a little light, you know, they call it macchiato. It's a touch sauce. It's just a light cherry sauce. Yeah. Or they'll serve gnocchi with the baby pink shrimp that eat off the coral, so they're very red. And the handmade pastas like ravioli caprese. Yeah, Reno said on every box of pasta, even if it's a cheap kind or if it's more elaborate like this. And this is another. You have the Made in Italy flag.
Yes, I see the Italian flag.
The cooking time. And pastas have numbers. Different pastas have numbers. Here's another one that you wouldn't see in America. This is called risoni, and it rice. It literally looks like rice, and you can use it in a chicken soup. You can use it to make a pasta salad, cook it and disperse it with vegetables to make a stuffing, because it's just little. It looks like rice.
Looks like orzo.
Yeah, it's different than orzo, though. It's literally.
Familia.
Yeah, it looks like rice. Look at it. It's thinner than orzo.
What is the most unusual pasta shape? I mean, has someone made pasta that looks like little Fiats or something? I don't know.
I mean, like in Florence, there's a pasta called nudi, which means nude pasta, and it's like a dumpling. I make them. It's basically with lots and lots of spinach that's been steamed, and you have to really press the water out with ricotta, nutmeg, and a little bit of flour. And you can make them like tournelles, so they're like elliptical shape. Mm. They're long and thin. they're called nudi because you don't serve them with anything except a little melted butter and a couple of leaves of sage. I can remember growing up with my grandma, my Nonna Filomena, and my auntie Genevieve and Sabatina, and they'd make pasta, and they had these, they looked like clothes hangers, wooden, yep. You know, the accordions,
yep.
And they would hang their pasta on that or lay it out on wax paper on a bed. You know what? We wanted to circle back, Jordan, because here on the Amalfi Coast, there's a pasta called sciagliatelle. Can you say it, Reno, better than me?
Sciagliatelle, yeah. Sciagliatelle.
And it's a pasta that you'll only see on the Amalfi Coast. And it's basically made with flour and water and salt, no eggs, because it's hot here. It's always hotter and warmer than in other places of Italy. And this pasta is a short, you know, when they cut it, it's short. It's a little bit thicker. And what are some of the sauces that they serve it with, Reno? Frutti di mare.
Frutti di mare, sciagliatelle. Sciagliatelle, frutti di mare. It's famous.
Tagliatelle con frutti di mare, which is fruits of the sea. So it's octopus, you know, it's all the baby shrimp, calamari, the different kinds of clams, which are the small clams. The lupini kind of clams, which are more precious, a thick shell. Mm-hmm. And that's a pasta that you won't see outside of this region when we talk about regional pastas. And also the pasta Nerano, which is named after the little town on the Amalfi Coast heading to Capri. And it's a delicious pasta, usually made with the paccheri pasta. And it's tossed with zucchini that are sliced on a mandolin, so they're very thin, with some onions, just a touch of onions, lots and lots of Parmigiano cheese that's delicately on a very low flame tossed in so it doesn't lump up, and a little bit of cream. It's a delicious pasta recipe and provolone cheese as well. And then they put lots of basil on top. So you have this pungent contrast between the basil, this creamy sauce, the delicious zucchini, and, you know, the chunky, thick paccheri pasta. Those are a few of the very local dishes. And of course, they serve the gnocchi and the linguine with the sfusato lemon creams, which you can make. I like to peel the lemon off, the lemons from here, and just toss it in a pan with a little bit of extra virgin olive oil. Then when the pasta is done, put it back in the pan.
Fine.
And you can leave the lemon peel in until it starts to turn and you pull it out. And if you really wanted to make it decadent, you can add a little bit of cream with that.
I'm all for everything you just said. Cooking time for pasta, if you're buying pasta in Italy, that's so important, right? The amount of time it's in the boiling water.
Exactly. Because Italians cook al dente, which means to the bite. You know, Americans will come here, or even folks back in the States, and they'll say, this pasta is not cooked. But that's the way Italians like it, because a true pasta, once you strain it, it goes into the pan with the sauce. And that's where the final release of all the creams are. So you would never put sauce on the pasta. You put the pasta in the sauce, and then you know, like
stir
this.
It all up. Well, you're driving me crazy. You realize that. The fact is, you're also on location. Why don't you just describe where you are on your veranda, please?
Sure. We're in a little town called Praiano. It's about a kilometer away from Positano. We can reach out and see and touch Positano in the distance, and the mountains are behind us. Capri is in front of us. The Galley Islands are in front of us, where Rudolf Nervier lived and built a ballet school. And it's sunset. Well, it's not really sunset yet. It's 8:30. It's still very bright out, and it gets dark here very late.
What's for dinner?
We're not sure. For lunch, we had little spinach raviolis that were stuffed with ricotta, spinach, nutmeg, and just a plain olive oil drizzle, because they're so delicious with sea salt.
One thing's for sure, Reno is one lucky man.
Oh, I'm one lucky girl.
Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe and download future episodes. To find out more about us, visit cooking-vacations.com. Ciao, grazie.